focus of our worship this morning is this musical piece entitled Let Justice Roll. That is the singing of our choirs paired with the words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in his letter from a Birmingham jail. And it is particularly appropriate on this Palm Sunday. Because when Jesus came from the countryside into the city of Jerusalem that year, he knew he was calling the question, raising the stakes on what it meant to follow him. It is time, he said with his actions of this week, when it is no longer enough to admire me or to applaud my good intentions. Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey to put people in a position where they had to say yes or no to his invitation to be part of God's work of creating justice, changing the world until justice might roll down like an endless flow of water. Yes, I am with you no matter what the cost. Or no, I cannot let go of what holds me in this place. During this week, this last week of Jesus' life, the week that would end in his death, the stakes got higher. It was less and less possible to remain on the sidelines, either cheering as part of a big anonymous crowd that lined the parade route, or standing on the fringe, throwing out cynical word bombs. This was a week that called for commitment, a statement of your ultimate loyalty. This is a week that calls for that still.
Everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects us all indirectly. Thank you. years now, I have heard the word wait. It rings in the ear of every Negro with piercing familiarity. This wait has almost always meant never. Perhaps it is easy for those who have never felt the stinging darts of segregation to say wait. But when you have seen vicious mobs lynch your mothers and fathers at will, and drown your sisters and brothers at whim, when you have seen hate-filled policemen curse, kick, and even kill your black brothers and sisters, when you see the vast majority of your 20 million Negro brothers smothering in an airtight cage of poverty in the midst of an affluent society, when you suddenly find your tongue twisted and your speech stammering as you seek to explain to your six-year-old daughter why she can't go to the public amusement park and see tears welling up in her eyes when she is told that Funtown is closed to colored children, and see ominous clouds of inferiority beginning to form in her little mental sky. When you are humiliated day in and day out by nagging signs reading white and colored, when you are harried by day and haunted by night by the fact that you are a Negro living constantly at tiptoe stance, never quite knowing what to expect next, and are plagued with inner fears and outer resentments, when you are forever fighting a denigrating sense of nobodiness, then you will understand why we find it difficult to wait. We will have to repent in this generation, not merely for the hateful words and actions of the bad people, but for the appalling silence of the good people. Human progress never rolls in on wheels of inevitability. It comes through the tireless efforts of people willing to be co-workers with God. I have traveled the length and breadth of Alabama, Mississippi, and all the other southern states. On sweltering summer days and crisp autumn mornings, I have looked at the South's beautiful churches with their lofty spires pointing heavenward. Over and over, I find myself asking, what kind of people worship here? Who is their God? Where were their voices when the lips of Governor Barnett dripped with words of interposition and nullification? Where were they when Governor Wallace gave a clarion call for defiance and hatred? Where were their voices of support when bruised and weary Negro men and women decided to rise from the dark dungeons of complacency to the bright hills of creative protest? Yes, these questions are in my mind. In deep disappointment, I have wept over the church. But be assured that my tears have been tears of love. There can be no deep disappointment where there is not deep love. Yes, I love the church. How could I do otherwise? But again, I am thankful to God that some noble souls from within the ranks of organized religion have broken loose from the paralyzing chains of conformity and joined us in the struggle for freedom. They have left their secure congregations and walked the streets of Albany, Georgia with us. They have gone down the highways of the South on torturous rides for freedom. Yes, they have gone to jail with us. Some have been dismissed from their churches. They have lost the support of their bishops and fellow ministers. But they have acted in the faith that right defeated is stronger than evil triumphant. Their witness has been the spiritual salt that has preserved the true meaning of the gospel of these troubled times. But even if the church does not come to the aid of justice, I have no despair about the future. I have no fear about the outcome of our struggle. Even if our motives are at present misunderstood, abused and scorned though we may be, our destiny is tied up with America's destiny. If the inexpressible cruelties of slavery could not stop us, the opposition we now face will surely fail. We will win our freedom because the sacred heritage of our nation and the eternal will of God are embodied in our echoing demands.